Welcome to the Flow Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:06 p.m. That is Pacific Summer Time. Today is September 26th, and it was a pretty quiet day on stock markets today. If we simply look at the World Equity Index page from Bloomberg, there wasn't really any big dynamic move, which is to be welcomed, considering that if we look at the tone of the headlines yesterday, that we had this FANG flu, and yet Apple was one of the better performers in here today, then there was this sort of panicky environment. What that really tells us is that people do not have a large number of long positions, that the stock market has been hovering here around these big psychological round numbers for much of the last few months. And until we see a clear and conclusive break of above those levels, then I think people are going to still remain nervous. But against all of the things that people are worried about, whether it is North Korea, and the fact that you have U.S. bombers buzzing their air defenses, or perhaps more correctly saying probing their air defenses, and then you also have the uncertainty about what exactly is it that the Trump tax reforms are going to deliver in terms of benefits for both consumers and indeed corporations. And then you had Janet Yellen today talking about the fact that they don't actually understand why inflation is not higher than it is. So perhaps we should first look at the look, for example, at the two-year bond yield, because it's at 1.4398%, and it is breaking up out of this range, because we are looking at an additional rate hike by the end of this year. But this is a two-year yield, and the Fed funds rate is going to be this doesn't give us any room for error, that the bond market isn't willing to countenance even the remotest possibility that interest rates will in fact be higher than they are right now in 2 years' time. They're in a show-me mode. This is the kind of condition that I have described previously as the boy who cried wolf. They have been warned repeatedly about inflation. It hasn't been delivered upon, and therefore they're not willing to take any risks. They've probably lost too much money already trying to price in inflation without it actually occurring. So the bond market is anticipating that the long decline in the velocity of money is going to persist. We are at historic levels. This chart goes back to 1942, and in all that time, the velocity of money has never been this low. But that's not new. We crossed that barrier in 2011. So the more important point is that it is trending lower, that we have had a quite profound change in the economy, in the way that people interact, in the way that people buy, the way they spend their money. And perhaps the easiest way of describing all of that is that the number of intermediaries has declined, and that is something that is likely to persist, considering that I got an email just a couple of days ago enticing my wife's online business to sell in Europe, to sell in Japan. And in the email, they were very clear to point out that they offer Chinese language support. And what does that tell us? It tells us very clearly that Amazon is appealing directly to Chinese manufacturers. It's giving them the warehouse space to sell their goods directly to consumers right across the globe. Again, cutting out the intermediary. And this is the future. And when we look at it in those terms, that is the very direct influence of technological innovation representing a deflationary force, and the velocity of money is a graphic representation of that. And that represents a challenge, because when you have that force of a deflation coming through in the official statistics, then we also know that the fruits of that deflation are not equally spread, and that the number of people left outside the fold of the beneficiaries is increasing, and therefore we're getting this rise in populism. And Europe is really at the sharp end of that right now, where you have the Euro Stoxx index has broken this downward trend since May of this year. It's bounced from the region of the trend mean. It remains on a recovery trajectory. Macron in France today made an important statement about what his plans for were European reform. And he was at pains to say that he didn't see that there was a need for mutualization of debt, because he's obviously trying to appeal to the German electorate, and not least because the coalition talks in Germany are going to take months. And when you are looking at who is going to be negotiating those terms, well, then some of those people are not going to be looking at Germany taking a greater position in supporting the debt of Eurozone countries. But what that does is throws the onus for the responsibility for maintaining the banking sector back onto the ECB. And we already know what they're going to do. They're going to flood the market with liquidity. They're going to continue to engage in quantitative easing. They're only beginning to talk about tapering, but that is only talking about it. And if we were to see a return of deflationary forces in Europe, well, we know what the playbook is. And the European banking sector has been trending higher within an overall base formation for more than a year already. It bounced from the region of the trend mean just a couple of weeks ago, and we're getting a little bit of consolidation now. But one would have to consider that the most likely scenario is that it is likely to trend higher in a rangy manner for the foreseeable future. And I've posted an article today where you have a number of bank CEOs talking. And you have Ermosti from UBS saying that greater integration is a taboo subject in Europe. And he's absolutely correct, because regardless of whether people are willing to talk about it in a public forum, it is the obvious solution to the European problem. And then you have Bob Diamond saying that he thinks that the Southern European banks are going to benefit. What was also interesting over the last couple of days is that the stress tests for even the Greek banks are going to be front-loaded in the first quarter of next year. Of course, Greece has been excluded from the ECB's buying program because it is still part of a bailout program. But if it gets the green light and that its banks are back on a secure enough footing to survive without direct payments, then Greece could potentially become the subject of quantitative easing buying next year. And those are the kinds of developments that can help to sustain the market. And this is something that I think is perhaps more important. Is it goes right back to one of David's Fullerisms, which is that monetary policy beats most other factors most of the time, and that is certainly the case with Europe, because as long as the ECB has to do most of the running in terms of its support for the market, then that their primary outlet is going to be monetary policy. And we also know that with Japan, the BOJ already owns about 40% of JGBs, and they continue to buy. They're also buying stocks. And Japan has an awful lot of debt. And the yen was a little bit weaker in here today. I think people are beginning to realize that Abe is pursuing an outright inflationary environment. And that is perhaps another way of saying that, is that he is aiming towards devaluing the currency. It's raising the potential, at least, that we get back up towards that 115 area. And that is potentially beneficial for the Japanese stock market. The Nikkei was in mildly negative territory today, but that was probably more in response to yesterday's strength in the yen. But I think one really should look at the weekly chart, because that 20,000 level has represented an area of resistance on multiple occasions for an awfully long time. And it pulled back from that 20,000 area in 2015, but it is back testing it once more. And as long as it is holding this region, then the I think the balance of probabilities is that Japan is going to be able to sustain a move above 20,000 and that we are going to see additional upside. But this would also, if it can clear that 20,000 level, it would suggest that we are no longer in a short-term bull market, but rather that inflation might finally be getting the upper hand in Japan, or that enough of reforms have been passed that people are beginning to think about it more in terms of a growth trajectory. And obviously, it's a very interesting market because of the demographics and the rise of technology. When we look at technological innovation, then I find it quite interesting that one of the two of the things actually that Apple released with its iPhone X or 10, whichever way you want to read it, one was those emoticons, many of which are following the Chinese zodiac. You have the monkey and you have the pig, for example, and then you also have facial recognition. And if we look at the number of stories that are proliferating in China about the rollout of facial recognition technology, then it is we can then look at Apple as a simply an iteration of that. They felt perhaps obligated to include facial recognition in their products because China represents a substantial market for the iPhone, and Apple is an iPhone almost only company at this stage. So that is something else to bear in mind, because what we can think about in China, and certainly the screws are being tightened ahead of the Party Congress in October, but by and large, the A-share index has been ranging with an upward bias for much of the last 18 months, and nothing has happened yet to question that environment. The Chinese are pushing for a greater role of services in the economy. They're trying to upgrade their manufacturing capacity for higher value, and they are also looking for more control. And this rollout of facial recognition technology, and I anticipate that they're quite serious when they talk about a social credit score, that is all part of their agenda to increase control. And then how is the corporate sector going to perform in that light? Well, they, I think, will be allowed to perform as long as they toe the party line, which is not all that different from the scenario that we have right now. But Baidu is a company that should benefit from that kind of environment. And it was up about 1% in here today, and it has continued to extend its breakout from what was a very well-defined triangular pattern over the course of almost 2 years. And I haven't spoken about India in about a week, and the index is still ranging in the region of this 10,000 level, and it has pulled back pretty sharply over the last couple of days. So this is, I think, two of the largest downward dynamics that we've seen in the last couple of months. What we can also see from this chart is that by going sideways, it is unwinding much of the overbought condition relative to the trend mean. So this is so far a reversionary pullback. And I think it is also worth keeping an eye on gold. The precious metals were in negative territory in here today. They gave up much of their advance from yesterday. Gold hasn't quite unwound its overbought condition relative to the trend mean. Silver has. And this is a natural area where some people might be thinking about finding support. It really did need to follow through on the upside yesterday to confirm support in the region of $1,300. It has not yet done that. And it might yet unwind more of that overbought condition relative to the trend mean. But of course, gold does best in an environment where interest rates are not keeping pace with inflation. And that simply is not the case in here today. And I suspect that Janet Yellen's comments probably were contributing to that weakness in the gold price. It's also worth keeping an eye on oil, because Brent crude, having rallied really rather impressively yesterday, was a little bit weaker in here today, but not in a dynamic fashion, and it was off its high, excuse me, off its lows in here today. When we look at it on a weekly basis, then yes, it had a very volatile rangy phase over much of the last 18 months, but it has put together a string of upward dynamics over the last few weeks, and it is at, or at least it posted a new recovery high yesterday. Now, it is a little bit overbought in the short term, but this is looking like a more bullish environment, and that has been the case since it broke that progression of lower rally highs evidenced since January. There is the potential that we do get some additional upside in here before some of the supply that has been locked out of the market begins to come back onto the market. And there is, I think, you know, perhaps one of the more bullish points about oil is that the Saudi Arabians want to IPO Saudi Aramco, and having a somewhat higher price would be highly beneficial to that objective. And I think when we look at how the currencies are performing, the dollar index had moved to a new low at the beginning of this month, but it has been firming. It hasn't quite yet broken that progression of lower rally highs, but it's certainly not beyond the bounds of possibility. If the Fed is going to be raising interest rates, and neither the Europeans or the Japanese are going to be doing that, then considering that those represent the two largest weightings on this index, then there is the potential that the dollar will do better in here. And I think that the balance of probabilities is for a reversionary rally back up towards the trend mean. That could also act as a headwind for the precious metals for as long as it persists. And I think with that, I will leave you for today and wish all the best to all of you.